is a Zeke run.
The great Brad Sham joins us momentarily. Welcome back. It is the Monsters of the Midday on a Tuesday. Mark and Dusty both on location today as we welcome to the show in his 40th season as the play-by-play voice of the Dallas Cowboys, the legendary Brad Sham. Brad, congratulations. I had heard that they renamed the press box the Brad Sham Press Box. Congratulations. What a great honor.
Oh, thanks, Dusty. It was quite a deal. The home radio booth now has my name on it, which is stupid. I don't even get that. They did a hell of a job. Now they had a big surprise ceremony and brought in all of my family and guys I'd worked with and trained, and Dale Hansen and Charlie Waters were there, and Ralph Strangis, my buddy who did the Dallas Stars, and Chuck Cooperstein of the Mavericks. And I mean, it was like an old, if most of your listeners won't know of the old TV show This Is Your Life, but Google it, and that's what it was. And it's just now kind of starting to settle in because I had a game to do, and it was a special moment. It really was.
It's much deserved, Brad. No question about it. So you didn't know? You had no idea that was going to happen?
No, I knew they were doing something. I figured out they were up to something, and there were two or three, four little things that happened that I said, well, this isn't right. That's not that, no, that doesn't happen. And I didn't know what. I had no idea what until I walked into the room, and Jerry and all of his family were sitting there, and then all these other people, and yeah, kind of blew my mind a little.
Well, I just want to say, as a longtime Cowboys fan and a guy who's grown up listening to you call Cowboys games since I was in single digits, I think it's awesome. It is extremely well deserved, and I just want to say on behalf of a lot of Cowboys fans, thank you, man, because I grew up and Cowboys football was kind of with your voice, and you still do a great job. So,
well, thanks. I
awesome.
Appreciate it. I don't agree about
Brad.
The deserve, but I know that's not up to me. And
right.
The last thing I said, you know, I had to say something, so I have no idea what I said, even though I've looked at it a couple of times. But I do know that the last thing I said is, this is pretty good, and I can't imagine what the hell you're going to do for my 50th.
Well, the Cowboys at least showed up and gave a great product on the field. You know, we talked to you in training camp, and you thought that this defense was going to be good. And they've lived up to it. Just how good is this a top 10 defense? How good can this defense continue to get, Brad?
Oh, it'll get better. Yeah, it could be. It could very well be a top 10 defense. They did not have Randy Gregory on the night because of an injury, and he is playing like he played at Nebraska. He's just ridiculously good. And, you're presuming that all his other problems get solved in, two more games, so three more games, they could have David Irving back to put next to him. And they've got a couple little injuries, and Xavier Woods hasn't played yet. I think he's going to be healthy to play this week. And, you know, Leighton Vander Esch has just played a couple of games. And, yeah, they're going to get better. I want you to, as you watch them throughout the year, if you get a chance to sit down and watch a game, people need to watch Jalen Smith. This is not the same Jalen Smith who was on the field last year, and he's a difference-making player. He does amazing things. And so, yeah, I think they've got a chance to be a really good defense, and I think they're going to get better from where – in fact, I would bet that they're going to get better from where they are right now.
What about DeMarcus Lawrence? Is he right there with
Mack
in terms of top pass rushers?
No, he's, and the thing about the great thing about Lawrence is that, you know, he's got a sack in each game. And if he had a sack a game, I'm terrible at math, but I think that comes out to 16. That would be a pretty good year. And he's not just making plays when he makes a sack. He's a handful in the running game. In fact, a couple of years ago before his breakout year last year, I thought he was one of the best run players they had. And his maturity and growth as a person have just come along from his rookie year, and he's one of the leaders on the team now. Tyrone Crawford's playing great, and they just got Malik Collins back, and they're still spoon feeding him. So they got a chance to be pretty good.
That, you know, just real quickly back to Jalen Smith, you know, I'm sure Cowboys fans realize that he dropped in the draft because of that, you know, that unbelievable injury he had against Ohio State, and they got him in the second round. And I remember going to that draft and having watched some of his tape. I mean, he was probably a top five to top ten player in that draft. So if you're, what you're saying is right and he's back and doing those things that they did pre-injury, that could wind up being one of the better value draft picks the Cowboys have had in a while.
There's no doubt, and as a matter of fact, and I've said this a couple other places, the same thing is true of Gregory, who, if you remember what he was like at Nebraska, his risk, obviously, was his substance issues, which has turned out to be maybe a little bipolar, and so I think you put it in the category of not just people need to do a better job of trying to understand what it, what addiction is all about. And it's not just somebody who is sloppy about his personal life and doesn't care what he's doing, and so he decides to go smoke weed instead of doing something else. A lot of times people do that. I'm not excusing it, but a lot of times people do that because they feel the need to medicate from some other issue, and frequently it's a mental health issue. And in Gregory's case, they believe that they have found that. He's had a year's suspension, during which time he's worked very hard on therapy and medication. And so the point of all that is, if they have it under control, and they think they do, and he's got a really strict line that he has to walk, stricter than most, as it should be. But the point is, if he walks it, and Smith is playing, you now have two top 10, certainly top 10 talents, who they got in the second round. And that is the absolute essence of Jerry Jones' philosophy of risk-reward. The risk, when you spend a second-round pick on a guy who's had a horrific, possibly career-ending injury, or has the problems that Gregory had, the risk is you threw away a second-round pick. Maybe you did it 2 years in a row. But you, his philosophy, sometimes you strike out with the bases loaded. His philosophy is that if the reward is great enough, I'll take that chance. Now, you may be seeing the reward being great enough. If these two guys play out, then that's what his risk-reward philosophy is all about.
Brad, what has to happen on offense for that side of the football to reach its potential? Who are some guys that can come forward?
You know, they're going to have to. The receiver core is all new, and supposedly they're trying to add Bryce Butler back to it. Part of it is familiarity between receivers and quarterback. And I contend that this is partly a function of not playing in the preseason. Guys don't play. Now, I don't know of any other way. I didn't play, but I've watched a little bit, and I don't know of any better way, any other way, to get ready to play football than by playing football. And you practice, and that's necessary, but that's not playing. It's not even playing in the preseason. And so I remember talking to guys a few years ago, Sean Lee, Travis Frederick, I asked him, what do you like for a preseason build-up? How do you like to do it? And everybody I talked to, good veteran players, said, you know, maybe 8 or 10 snaps, 12 snaps in the first game, and then build it up to 15 to 20 and stretch it out a little bit in the third game and then take the fourth one off and you're ready to go. Well, you're talking about guys now getting 20 snaps for the whole preseason. The whole preseason. So that's part of it to me. Quarterback has to throw the ball better. His accuracy has been wanting in the first two games. But I think he's pressing a little. I think he's kind of pushing because he's trying to make everything happen in the passing game himself, and that's not a formula for success. A lot of people will say, well, the receivers are just terrible. I don't think they're terrible, but you know, they're probably not. I don't think they've got six all-pros, but I do think they have enough quality to get their job done, particularly if they're running well. Connor Williams is going to be at left guard, the rookie. He's going to be a work in progress. He has some really good moments. He has some moments that are not so good. And as you guys know, it only takes one. It's what I love about football. takes one breakdown on the offensive line, or maybe in the play scheme, in the play design, to make the whole thing go off in the ditch. Like, they had a running play I remember seeing early in the game Sunday night that they tried to run a counter and away from an overload, and they asked two tight ends to block two defensive linemen, and they didn't do it well. And those guys came across their face and threw the wash, and you got 2 yards out of the play if you got anything. So maybe that's the play design. Maybe we shouldn't ask that tight end to block that defensive lineman. Maybe we should figure out a way to do something different.
Talking with Brad Sham, the voice of the Dallas Cowboys, in his 40th season. I want to talk a little more about the offensive line. The Travis Frederick situation is just, I mean, there's no way to prepare for that.
Right.
I'd love to get a little insight if you guys have any idea what his health status is, and how much of a loss is that, given that he's the center, he's the glue guy, he makes all the calls. How have you felt Looney's done in his absence?
So it's more than one question, and the answer to the last one is Joe Looney's done really well. He's not Travis Frederick, and he's not going to be Travis Frederick. Travis's vision, leadership, ability to get to the second level in a hurry, reach block, off the charts. It's one of the reasons he's the Pro Bowler every year. Looney is stronger than he's ever been. He has been sitting next to Travis for the last 2 years plus in meetings. He's a smart guy. He's done better than you could have expected. He's not Travis Frederick. Travis's health, by and large, is pretty good. Now, to me, and I think that you both would agree, the most important thing is the guy's health, not his health to play football. So I asked him a couple of weeks. He's getting stronger. I asked him a couple of weeks ago, can you pick up your son? He's got a three-year-old son and an infant daughter. I said, can you pick up your son? He said, yeah, but I can't pick up a three technique. So, okay, let's have concern for the human being and get him to a point where he can pick up his son and hold him. Let's get him healthy. The good news is that everything that we are able to hear about this particular disease, Guillain-Barré, is if it's caught early, and this one was, and the medication is right, and he's got the best doctors and has from the beginning, then it cures. It doesn't just go into remission. It's not like a cancer. It cures. It can take anywhere from 2 months to a year. So they've not put him on injured reserve because of the chance that he could play in the second half of the year. Or maybe even sooner, because obviously you could put him on. They kept him on to get to 53. Then you could put him on and you can bring him back, but you got to sit out 8 weeks. And there was a chance that he could be ready before that. So someone's got to be inactive anyway. I don't think they've lost anything. I don't think they haven't lost a contributor they might have added who was going to make a difference in their team. He's very much ready. He's traveling with the team. He's around the team. He's not practicing, but he's at practice every day. He's doing everything he can. He's doing particular physical activity that his doctors prescribe, and there's medication. His prognosis, his human being health prognosis is very, very good. Probably excellent. His football health prognosis is good, but no one knows how soon. So that's all anybody can know about that. They're better with him. He's a really, really, really good, smart player. And Joe Looney, in his absence, I believe is doing about as well as any backup center probably could.
I like the way that Dak Prescott handled the Landon Collins situation last week. Just kind of confidently, you know, let it be out there, answer the question that I'm up for the challenge. And I thought he responded on Sunday pretty well, Brad.
Yeah, I did too. And that's who Dak is. And, you know, the ball did not go down the field at all in Charlotte. And some of that was his decisions and some of that was plays sent in. But their big problem offensively in Charlotte, and this when you ask about are they going to function, are they going to get better, and I mean, the first thing you have to do is not be first and 20 and second and 18 and third and 15. Against a good defense, which Carolina has, that you can't make a living that way. And that's what they were most of the day in Charlotte. So they did do some things differently. I think I've always said,
oh man,
he's always said something,
and he's out.
Ruh-roh.
Man, he's rendered speechless.
I like the mic. I like the prognosis for the Cowboys defense.
I do too. I'm excited to see Jalen. Jalen Smith was the best defensive player in college football his last year at Notre Dame. I mean, he was a game-changing type of linebacker, Mark, with his speed, his ability to. Okay, we lost you, Brad. Sorry about that.
We lost you, Brad. Behind the chains, playing.
Somebody doesn't like what I always say. Apparently, I think that I've always said that it was on the coaching staff to put these guys in the right position, and I think they did a better job of that Sunday night against the Giants. I think Dak did a better job, and I haven't looked at their tape yet, so you got to go back and see what did they do. There were two or three series where they kind of bogged down . And sometimes you're going to punt, but they had two or three series where they bogged down after they scored on their first two. But then what they did was come back at the end. Now, the Giants got the last 10 points, partly with the onside kick. But that eight-minute drive where they essentially put the game away with Elliott's touchdown, that's what they want to do at the end of the game. That's who they are. And that's what they are able to do. What they've got to do is put some points up before that, and Prescott is going to handle situations like that the right way. He needs to work on his accuracy, but it all, as you well know, it all works together. So I think their offense is also going to get better, and we will see how much better it gets and how much better it needs to get. I'm a big baseball fan. And I understand the importance of statistics in baseball. Some statistics in football are important in terms of telling you things that are happening. Some of them are just numbers because we live in a fantasy football age and people have to have statistics to measure everything. And the one that's really the most important is how many points did you have at the end of the game and how many did they have? And if you got one more, I don't care if you won what some people think is ugly. I don't care. You know your team. You play the way you have to play, and that's what they did Sunday night, and I think that's what they're trying to do.
Brad, great stuff as always. Once again, congratulations.
Thanks,
on, the press box. Safe travels to Seattle, and I think that defensive line is going to get after Russell Wilson and that Seattle offensive line. They got beat up last night.
I was just watching it, and I think they got a chance. But, it's tough in Seattle, as you well know.
It's very loud. It's very loud. Safe travels. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Brad. Have a good day.
See you, Brad.
There you go, Brad Sham.
Home opener.